I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game as Chicagoans recoil in horror at the first Cubs mascot of the modern era. Our own Doug Tribou takes a look at other mascot hits and misses. But first, the 2014 pro tennis season is underway, and the International Tennis Federation is dealing with controversy and criticism of its anti-doping program. Joining me to examine same is Christopher Clary, who writes about tennis for the New York Times. Christopher, in the past, the anti-doping program overseen by the ITF has been criticized as insufficiently tough. What was the basis of that criticism?
I think there's been a number of things over the years, Bill. Tennis was very early to the anti-doping fight. They had a program before a lot of other sports. But over time, the numbers of tests that they're doing, number of blood tests, out-of-competition tests, were not judged sufficient by some outside observers. And also, I feel like the top players themselves were clamoring for it. People like Federer and Andy Murray were calling for more tests in recent years, saying they didn't feel they were being tested enough. Nadal's been under some criticism as well because of his style of play and his success. There's been a lot of doubts, but I think he wants that addressed. He wants to clear his name and clear any issues there might be. So the players want that stain, whatever there might be, to be taken away, and I think there's really been a clear attempt on their part to call for more.
The Court of Arbitration for Sport has recently reduced the penalties for two tennis players. Tell us a little bit about those cases and whether the reductions have altered the way the ITF will operate going forward.
Viktor Troicki, former top 20 player from Serbia, and Marin Cilic, a top player from Croatia. The Troicki case is probably the most interesting just because he didn't actually fail a test. He was penalized for declining to take a blood test. The reasons he gave were he wasn't feeling well that day, and he gave the impression that he'd been given permission to do that and wait till the next day, which anybody who follows doping closely knows is not the way it usually works. Created quite a firestorm. He was banned initially for a couple of years. It was reduced to 18 months, and then ultimately the arbitration court reduced it to 1 year. And Cilic's test for a stimulant also was reduced. And so it's kind of given the impression that the ITF is going a bit overboard to try to set an example and push hard on these cases. But the ITF has responded by trying to get rid of some of the ambiguity that created that case with Troicki. It's a case where they've kind of gotten the balance wrong. They're trying to address it and fix that.
Two of the top men in the game see the anti-doping program differently. Novak Djokovic has said of the testers, "I don't trust them," perhaps because he and Viktor Troicki are friends. Roger Federer has defended the program, as you mentioned. Where do most of the less spectacularly successful players fall on that spectrum?
I think everybody in the Lance Armstrong era, and with men's tennis being as physical as it is, wants to see more severe and strict testing. And I feel like there's really a sense among all the players that they need to do more. And the other problem they have is that they don't declare after an initial positive test that this has happened, which creates some doubt in terms of players who take long breaks from the sport, whether they're absent because of injury, whether they're absent because they're facing doping tribunals or positive doping tests they're trying to contest. So that's created this gray area, which other sports also have, but some have gotten rid of that aspect of it.
Athletes in different sports use different PEDs for different purposes, of course. Can you draw any conclusions about how the tennis establishment handles doping compared to how it's handled by Major League Baseball or the NFL, for example?
I think the perception was for a long time that tennis was not a sport that was really conducive to doping because it was a skill sport. And some of the sports leaders have given that impression as well, and I think that's really wrong. A lot of the things that you can say about baseball, you can say about tennis. True, baseball is a great skill sport, but it's obviously clear that doping is a big part of baseball, and there's no reason to think that there wasn't a temptation in tennis to do the same. So I think tennis needs to be even more aggressive. I think it needs to devote more money and resources to the issue and to be more public and open about it.
Christopher Clary writes about tennis for the New York Times. Christopher, thanks very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks, Bill.